Odysseus as an agent of change. He refused to accept Louis Agassiz's idea of ice ages, the refrigeration of the globe, as he dismissively termed it, and was confident that mammals would be found in the oldest fossiliferous beds. He rejected the notion that animals and plants suffered sudden annihilations, and believed that all the principal animal groups, mammals, reptiles, fish, and so on, had coexisted since the dawn of time. On all of these, he would ultimately be proved wrong. Yet it would be nearly impossible to overstate Lyell's influence. The Principles of Geology went through 12 editions in Lyell's lifetime and contained notions that shaped geological thinking far into the 20th century. Darwin took a first edition with him on the Beagle voyage and wrote afterward that the great merit of the Principles was that it altered the whole tone of one's mind, and therefore that when seeing a thing never seen by Lyell, one yet saw it partially through his eyes. In short, he thought him nearly a god, as did many of his generation. It is a testament to the strength of Lyell's sway that in the 1980s, when geologists had to abandon just a part of it to accommodate the impact theory of extinctions, it nearly killed them. But that is another chapter. Meanwhile, geology had a great deal of sorting out to do, and not all of it went smoothly. From the outset, geologists tried to categorize rocks by the periods in which they were laid down, but there were often bitter disagreements about where to put the dividing lines, none more so than a long-running debate that became known as the Great Devonian Controversy. The issue arose when the Reverend Adam Sedgwick of Cambridge claimed for the Cambrian period a layer of rock that Roderick Murchison believed belonged rightly to the Silurian. The dispute raged for years and grew extremely heated. "De la Beche is a dirty dog," Murchison wrote to a friend in a typical outburst. Some sense of the strength of feeling can be gained by glancing through the chapter titles of Martin J.S. Rudwick's excellent and somber account of the issue, The Great Devonian Controversy. These begin innocuously enough with headings such as Arenas of Gentlemanly Debate and Unraveling the Greywacker, but then proceed on to The Greywacker Defended and Attacked, Reproofs and Recriminations, The Spread of Ugly Rumors, Weaver Recants His Heresy, Putting a Provincial in His Place, and, in case there was any doubt that this was war, Murchison opens the Rhineland campaign. The fight was finally settled in 1879 with the simple expedient of coming up with a new period, the Ordovician, to be inserted between the two. Because the British were the most active in the early years, British names are predominant in geological lexicon. Devonian is, of course, from the English county of Devon. Cambrian comes from the Roman name for Wales, while Ordovician and Silurian recall ancient Welsh tribes, the Ordovices and Silures. But with the rise of geological prospecting elsewhere, names began to creep in from all over. Jurassic refers to the Jura Mountains on the border of France and Switzerland. Permian recalls the former Russian province of Perm in the Ural Mountains. For Cretaceous, from the Latin for chalk, we are indebted to a Belgian geologist with the perky name of J.J. Domalius Daloy. Originally, geological history was divided into four spans of time: primary, secondary, tertiary, and quaternary. The system was too neat to last, and soon geologists were contributing additional divisions while eliminating others. Primary and secondary fell out of use altogether, while quaternary was discarded by some but kept by others. Today, only tertiary remains as a common designation everywhere, even though it no longer represents a third period of anything. Lyell, in his Principles, introduced additional units known as epochs or series to cover the period since the age of the dinosaurs, among them Pleistocene, most recent, Piocene, more recent, Miocene, moderately recent, and the rather endearingly vague Oligocene, but a little recent. Lyell originally intended to employ synchronous for his endings, giving us such crunchy designations as Miosynchronous and Pliosynchronous. The Reverend William Whewell, an influential man, objected on etymological grounds and suggested instead an Eos pattern, producing Myonius, Plionius, and so on. The seam terminations were thus something of a compromise. Nowadays, and speaking very generally, geological time is divided first into four great chunks known as eras: Precambrian, Paleozoic, from the Greek meaning old life, Mesozoic, middle life, and Cenozoic, recent life. These four eras are further divided into anywhere from a dozen to 20 subgroups, usually called periods, though sometimes known as systems. Most of these are also reasonably well known: Cretaceous, Jurassic, Triassic, Silurian, and so on. There will be no testing here, but if you are ever required to memorize them, you might wish to remember John Wilford's helpful advice to think of the eras, Precambrian, Paleozoic, Mesozoic, and Cenozoic, as seasons in a year, and the periods, Permian, Triassic, Jurassic, etc., as the months. Then come Lyell's epochs, the Pleistocene, Miocene, and so on, which apply only to the most recent but paleontologically busy 65 million years. And finally, we have a mass of finer subdivisions known as stages or ages. Most of these are named nearly always awkwardly after places: Illinoisan, Des Moinesian, Quaxian, Kimmeridgian, and so on, in like vein. Altogether, according to John McPhee, these number in the tens of dozens. Fortunately, unless you take up geology as a career, you are unlikely ever to hear any of them again. Further confusing the matter is that the stages or ages in North America have different names from the stages in Europe, and often only roughly intersect in time. Thus, the North American Cincinnatian stage mostly corresponds with the Ashgillian stage in Europe, plus a tiny bit of the slightly earlier Caradocian stage. Also, all this changes from textbook to textbook, and from person to person, so that some authorities describe seven recent epochs, while others are content with four. In some books, too, you will find the tertiary and quaternary taken out and replaced by periods of